This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you in the Kia Studios. Going to be with you for the full, well, I guess 4 hours and 1 minute is where we started. We're working overtime here tonight. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much. You want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. You can use your smartphone. You can use your Alexa speakers. You can use your tablet. Your Polaroid camera, your fax machine, your Palm Pilot, whatever your device is, just download it on something to be able to catch us when you are on the go. Social media is at 929TheGame on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, the best way to be a part of this show is to follow us through our personal Twitter pages. I am at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there producing the show on the other side of the glass. Day-Day's in the house at the D. Lewis for Real. Well, bunch to get into here this evening. We got a lot to chop up here tonight. Let's start with the Braves. They were pounded on last night by the Boston Red Sox. You know, not a good start for Morton. Again, it's just kind of – and he didn't give up any home runs. I'll give him credit for that. Didn't give up any home runs, but they got pounded. I guess the good news is the Braves turned their first triple play since – what was it, 1884? Is that right? 1884. And I think Freaky covered that game, right? I mean, he was there up in they were the Bean Eaters then. I remember that correctly. But 1884, so crazy. But not a good night for the Braves last night. They get pounded 7-1. Now you've got Spencer Strider on the mound here this evening. And look, he needs a good start, right? I mean, he struck out the world over his last three starts. He's got 34 strikeouts in three starts. But, you know, last time he was out, that was on the 20th against Arizona. Six innings, four earned runs. Then on the 15th of the month against the White Sox, six innings and five earned runs. And then his start before that was a masterpiece in Tampa, where he had six and a third innings of zero earned runs. But obviously he's given up nine earned runs in 12 innings over his last couple of starts. And, you know, again, they can afford to have pitchers that get – and that, this is the thing that frustrated me about Michael Soroka is, okay, six innings and four runs, I can live with that. Is that great? Is that a quality start by today's modern-day standard? No. It's not a quality start, but it's close. And the way the Braves score, if you give me six innings and four earned runs, I can live with that. This offense is going to pound on people. I can live with those kinds of numbers. And that's, you know, Strider's, you know, given up 9 earned runs in his last 12 innings pitch. So let's hope he has a good start. And, you know, again, he up in Boston, this will be the wrap-up of this set. So they look to split here. And then they come back home starting this weekend, and they will take on the Milwaukee Brewers, who they just took two out of three from when they were in Milwaukee. So, again, Milwaukee in first place. Now, the Braves start off tonight's play 11 games up in the division. So, you know, again, the Braves are it's funny. The Braves are 4-6 in their last 10, okay? Phillies 5-5. So they've gained one whole game on Atlanta. The Marlins are 2-8, so they've lost two games. And the Mets are 5-5. Only the Nationals have been a couple of games above 500. So the point is that, again, nobody has done anything in this division. Washington, New York, Miami, Philadelphia, nobody can gain any ground in this division. That's why it's been over for weeks. Weeks, I tell you. It's been over for weeks. Because we're almost to August, and the Phillies are just floundering around at 54-47, 11 games behind the Atlanta Braves in the division. So let's see what Spencer Strider has tonight, and hopefully he's got a bounce-back good start in him. Boy, Atlanta United last night. Whoo-wee. That was a butt-whooping. You know, you don't get too many of those kinds of performances in soccer, right? Like where you have a guy, like, could anybody have stopped Messi? I mean, other than cleats high into Messi's leg, anybody could stop Messi? He looked like a men among boys. And I know that he's obviously arguably the best player, you know, Ronaldo or Messi, whatever side you want to choose on. But if he's not one, he's number two in the world, right? I mean, he's one of the two or three best players on the entire planet. And you saw that on full display last night. Two goals and an assist, and they whooped. I mean, whooped Atlanta United 4-0. Our defense is, it's something to behold. I mean, okay, you didn't score any goals. You gave up four last night, and you had no answer for Lionel Messi. I mean, no answer. That was just... Now, thankfully, it doesn't count in the MLS standings, right? Because this is League's Cup action or whatever it is. I mean, another one of these FACACTA tournaments that they get mixed up in, you know, outside of MLS. But, you know, they'll see Messi come September 15th, right? He'll be here in Atlanta, and he'll be on the turf. That's what I know. Or he may just decide to sit that match out. I hope, listen, I hope he does. I hope that the turf scares him to where he would sit out a match.
After last night, yeah, you would want to make sure that you keep the turf in.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull out the turf that's in Mercedes-Benz Stadium right now and replace it with Philadelphia AstroTurf from the 1980s. Okay? I'm going to literally take out the field turf and replace it with 1983 AstroTurf from Philadelphia. That's what I'm going to, where they basically played on concrete. Like balls on that field in the old days, they could like bounce up and over your head in the infield. Like a grounder to short would take a seven hopper out to short, and then all of a sudden, it's like a racquetball, right? Or what do they call those things? The super ball? You know, like when you bounce a super ball on a surface, that's what that turf would look like in the old days. Like 1983. You know, guys are out there. Larry Bowa is out there playing shortstop, and the ball's bouncing over his head. Larry Bowa was a tremendous fielder. Like, he was a gold glove shortstop, and he was a terrific defensive player. And that turf would just eat people up. The only guy that really figured that turf out was Mike Schmidt for the Phillies. He was a master. And let me tell you, the other guy was in Cincinnati. Dave Concepcion was one of the best turf shortstop I have ever seen. So, and Ozzie, you know, was all world. But, again, if I've got to replace with the AstroTurf from 1983 for the Philadelphia, I'll gladly replace it because I don't want to see him. I don't want anything to do with Messi. So Atlanta United gets their butt kicked. They'll regroup and take on who they got on Saturday. They've got somebody coming up. We don't have the play-by-play schedule here, but they'll try to regroup and see if they can get a win in this League's Cup action. We'll talk to Joe Patrick coming up here at 8:20, our Falcons reporter, as it's officially underway, right? The first official practice for the Atlanta Falcons for this upcoming 2023 season. Now, we're going to ask you a question as we head toward break, and we're going to get you involved at 404-726-0929. But look, it's good to have the NFL back. It's more good to have the Falcons back, right? Everybody's kind of opening up tomorrow. Fans are going to be out there tomorrow. We're going to have we got the Morning Shaft, we got the Chuck House and Dandy and Randy. So we got all the shows out there. Then Dukes and Bell will be at the Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. So we've got you covered for Thursday and Friday. Then they will be out there all week next week. So, and we're at what bar are we at for our show?
It's
at Holman and Finch downstairs, you
no,
mean?
No, it's here.
Saints and Council?
Nope, here.
Huh?
Here.
At Colony Square over at, the establishment? What's that called, establishment?
No, that's what it's called. Right. That's not where we're going. We won't be there.
Really?
No.
We're out?
No, we're here.
Where?
In here.
Really? In this room?
In this room.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. We'll have all your camp coverage and... we'll have you covered all day long, and obviously all next week is two weeks from Friday is the first preseason game for the Atlanta Falcons, 2 weeks from Friday. So it'll be here fast, I can tell you. I mean, honestly, it will be here very quickly. I mean, this will – and again, I've got my daughter starting school on Tuesday, so it's like there's so much going on
same here.
Right now. You know, just so much right now that's going on. We've got our orientation tomorrow, so we got to go to the high school and – do her freshman orientation and all that kind of stuff. So I feel weird. Like I'm really kind of struggling a little bit here with
that she's going into high school.
Yeah, that she's going into high school. Mm-hmm. Like she's on the real downslope of her, mm-hmm. you know, mandatory schooling, and mm-hmm. now she's in a, you know, unique place where, I mean, it's just, you know, high school years and all that. So I mean, on one hand I'm excited, but on the other hand I'm like, man, she's not like my tiny little girl anymore.
Right.
I'm not picking her up from elementary school or whatever like that. She's about to be a high schooler.
Right.
So anyway, I've got mixed feelings about all of that. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But we'll talk to Joe Patrick. We'll also talk to a Chad Bishop, the beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution covering Georgia Tech as ACC Media Days. I guess they wrapped up. I think they officially wrap up.
No, they got one more day up there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. They should tomorrow because today's Wednesday,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So they got tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So they don't do the whole 4-day event though.
It was three. They started Monday. They started on Tuesday.
Tuesday, right?
Yeah. Tuesday.
Yeah, because they're usually a day shorter. I mean, everybody is usually a day shorter than what the SEC is, right? Because Big Ten is having their media days this week as well. So, and by the way, did you see Colorado is going to leave the?
That's what they're talking about. Yeah.
Well, no. I think.
You think it's going to happen?
No. I think. I think it's kind of almost official now. Brent McMurphy tweeted out that they are leaving the Pac-12 to return to the Big 12.
Oh,
so he's said it as officially happening. So it's not just rumor and innuendo, as we like to say. It's officially, happening. So, anyway, boy, how about Jaylen Brown?
Whew. Got the bag.
So, you know what? You want to know why that guys stay with their, even if it's just for a year, right? You want to know why? What would Jaylen Brown do other than sign a $304 million contract for 5 years? What else would you expect him to do? Walk out? No. I'm not going to play for $304 million. I don't care how mad or angry or upset or disenchanted or disenfranchised with the organization you are. I don't care. It's $304 million for 5 years. You know what? Suck it up, Buttercup. And I saw Jason McIntyre. Oh, well, he's not even a top 15 player. And he put on Twitter. He's not a top 15 player. And then it had a line that said Jason McIntyre on Jaylen Brown signing his contract. And I tweeted. What do they call that?
Quote
tweet, the kids call it? Okay. So I quote tweeted. I said, it's not about what you are. It's about if you're next.
Right.
Like, it's not about what you think it's worth. If you're next, you're the next guy. Guess what? There are, a dozen Supermax guys running around the NBA in today's world?
Yep.
Okay. Are there more than 12 players in the NBA?
Definitely.
Okay. So there aren't many of those guys. If your net, we talk about this with quarterbacks all the time. It's not what your value is. It's where you are in the pecking order. If you're the next guy in line and a team identifies you, then you're going to get paid. Oh, well, he's not a top 15 guy. Guess what? It doesn't matter. You think the Celtics looked at it and said, well, let's see, is he 16 or 18? No. They're like, we need a guy like this to win us an NBA championship. Because you know what the Celtics are? They're in the NBA championship business.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this or not, Day-Day. They've had success as a franchise winning NBA championships. They have won them in the past. I don't know if Jason McIntyre is aware of that. Again, maybe he isn't old enough to have seen footage, whether it's black and white or color, but he's an idiot. Anyway. But he's getting paid. He's filling in for Cowturd, getting paid. Can't knock him for that, man. Can't knock him for that. All right, 404-726-0929. Very simple question for you. Can the Falcons have a successful season without being in the playoffs? We'll take your calls on it next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 of the game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday evening with you. All right, 404-726-0929. That is our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. It's open and ready for you. But asking you your thoughts about this question, and we want to get your thoughts about this. Can the Falcons have a successful season without being in the playoffs? Day-Day, I'll ask you very quickly. I know you got to answer the phones and stuff, but I'll ask you very quickly. Do you think the Falcons can have a successful season without making the playoffs?
I've been thinking about that, and to me, I'll say yes. What has it been? Seven and ten, right? Two years straight?
Yes.
I'll say yes because this is the first time, you know, Coach Arthur Smith has what he has as far as, you know, the pieces and everything.
Right.
You know, technically Ritter is technically year one as a starter because those four games you really,
yeah.
you know, can't
right.
really count that. So I'll say yes in the sense that, you know, because you can miss out at, I guess, 9-8. You probably could even miss out at 10-7, depending on how things go. So if they get to those marks and miss out, I'm going to say yes.
I 100% agree. And look, I think the most important thing is that this team is above 500. Because it's time to start living above 500. Whether we make the playoffs, if it's 9-8 or 10-7, you can't control everything else across the league. And if the Falcons are 9-8, 10-7, and there are teams that just have a better record than they do, I can't be mad at that. That to me is growth. If we're above 500 now and we're moving in the right direction, then that's what I want from this franchise. Now, I'll use an example, and I use this with Carl. The Detroit Lions last year were 9-8. That was a successful season for Detroit. Now, look, they had not been very good, obviously, for a long time, but the last time they were above 500 was, 2017. That's the last time we were above 500. They've lost the last 2 years 24 games. Okay, well, we've lost 20. It's not like we've set the world on fire the last couple of years, but Detroit did not make the playoffs. They finished second in their division. They were 9-8. Minnesota had just a miraculous year. I mean, they were, what were they, like 11-0 in one score games or something ridiculous before getting bounced out of the playoffs. And again, they didn't make it. They weren't either in the right division or whatever, as far as the wild card goes, they didn't make it. Can anybody argue that the Detroit Lions aren't an up-arrow franchise? They've drafted Penei Sewell and Aiden Hutchinson in the last 2 years. They've solidified their offensive and defensive line. Jared Goff is a good enough quarterback. He's been in a Super Bowl. And they have a good roster, and they are an up-arrow franchise. They were only 9-8 last year and didn't make the playoffs. So I do think that it is possible for the Falcons, if they finish 9-8, 10-7, what have you, and don't make the playoffs, I still think that's a successful season. I still think that it's success for this team to get themselves back above 500. Now, you know, again, when they get to that point, you've got to start living there. That's the key. You can not like Matt Ryan for all of you want, but he brought the greatest era of success to this Falcons franchise. They were consistently in his first handful of years until, you know, the Mike Smith era and the Dan Quinn at the end with Dan Quinn. They were a successful franchise. They had more success with Matt Ryan than they ever had in the history of their organization. Now, I know that's like saying, you know, you're the tallest midget or the nicest guy on death row or whatever, but again, they never had more success than they had with Matt Ryan. And we were at least a perennial playoff contender. We expected to be above 500. And the occasional NFC championship game and the magical season in 16 where we got to the Super Bowl. So I do think that if the Falcons can get to 9-8, 10-7, I don't look at that as a failure. Even if it doesn't mean playoffs, I don't look at that as failure. 404-726-0929. That's our phone line. Let's go out to Dak out in Duluth. What's going on, Dak?
Hey, this is Jack in Duluth.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy. What's going on, man?
Hey, I would have to say the Saints are probably the favorites because of Carr as the quarterback going in. They probably are. But I think it would be a great season for the Falcons if they can remain around 500 and you could see improvement with Ritter and with their other first-round pick, Robinson. I think if they got improvement with them this year, especially since it's their first real full season, that would be a plus. And I just wanted to touch on something, too, about Jaylen Brown, what you said before, that I truly feel that he didn't deserve that kind of money because I think he's the reason why they didn't beat the Heat in this series. He kind of just fell apart, lost the ball a lot, didn't come through when they needed him. I don't think he's worth $60 million, but I think that's setting up the NBA for some really big salaries for some average dudes. So I wonder what you guys think about that.
Well, I mean, again, Joker on the end of his contract is going to be in the mid-50s. So it's not that different from the money that Joker's getting, you know. And again, I know he's the MVP of the league and he's won the NBA title. But again, it's not about whether you're worth it or not. It's about if you're next. Teams give out $40 million. Teams gave the Oakland A's or Raiders or whatever the hell they are, they gave $40 million to Derek Carr. You think Derek Carr's worth $40 million? He's been a loser his whole career. A loser. Their franchise is no better today with him gone than they were when he played for them. No better. He was a $40 million quarterback. That's life in sports. Everything goes up and up and up. Again, teams are making more and more and more money. The splits are up and up and up and up and up. It's just natural that salaries are going to go up that way. It's never about what a guy is worth, relatively speaking. Because we're going to talk about this Aaron Rodgers deal coming up in What's Bugging Chuckery. Because, again, the misnomer is, well, he took this pay cut. Really? He's got $58 million owed to him next year. 58. Guaranteed money. Now, if he doesn't take that money, we'll talk about pay cuts. But right now, he's got a $58.3 million roster bonus that got pushed back to 2024. That nugget was conveniently left out of the $75 million or whatever guaranteed. Oh, he's got 58.3 that's owed to him next year in a roster bonus? Oh, did they report that when they talk about pay cuts? No, of course not, because that doesn't fit the narrative. That's why, again, you know, it's not about what you're worth. It's about what's next and who's the next guy up in all of this. All right, let's go to Ramil out in Brooks County. What's going on, man?
What's going on, boss?
Hey, buddy. How you doing, man?
All right. I think if the Falcons don't make the playoffs, it'll be an unsuccessful year. The reason I say that, though, because I think the division is going to be pretty bad. So I think a 9-8 or 10-7 season gets you two or three games ahead of everybody else in the division. So
yeah, I think it'll be I can understand that. I mean, look, you can't control what other teams do. Right. All you can do is handle your business. And obviously, look, their business starts with being good in the division. Let's start with being good in our division and we can figure out everything else from there. Now, we can figure out whatever games we play against AFC teams and, you know, the AFC South that they play this year. And they're, you know, again, we'll figure that out then. But be good against your teams in your division. That's where you start with. But you can't control. Who knows? Maybe the Saints go on a run where, you know, they're whatever. They're 5-1 in the division. I don't know. I mean, whatever it is. Or maybe they're 6-0 in the division and they just run away with it. You can't control all that. I mean, you can control the games that you play, but you can't control everything else about the Saints. So, I think the Falcons, and to the other caller's point, look, you're starting a rookie quarterback, and you have a lot of pieces and parts that are around him, and obviously he got a chance to play four games last year, so it's not the Matt Ryan situation where they just dumped him in as a number three pick and tossed him to the Wolves, and they went 11-5 because Michael Turner was really good. They were a bend-don't-break type of defense, and, you know, some things worked out. But I could see the Falcons having a 9 or 10 win season without the playoffs. Again, you can't control what other teams do. Dallas, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Seattle. Like, you can't control what those teams do. We just talked about Detroit, right? They think they're going to be a playoff team. You know, Minnesota was 13-4 last year. Does Minnesota look like a 13-4 team? Of course not. They don't look like a 13-4 team, but that's what they were. So you can't control some of those other factors that go into all of it. Let's go to Myron out in Decatur. What's going on, Myron?
Hey, Chuck. You know, I just want to reiterate what the previous two callers said, and I feel the same way. That and I agree with you as well. You know, a 9 or 10 win season with the way the NFC is stacked, it probably won't get you in the playoffs. But I still consider it a success. You know, if the Falcons because it's an upward climb. Or whatever, you know, and I feel that if they can win 8, 9, or 10 games, they can build on this and, you know, just keep adding more and more pieces for the upcoming season.
Yeah, and appreciate the phone call. Look, they're going to have money again next year. They're going to have money to spend next year. Now, hopefully, you know, we don't end up with the whatever, 4th, 5th, 8th, pick in the draft. Hopefully we're picking, you know, middle of the pack. That would be my hope, because if you're 9 or 10 wins, you're picking somewhere in the middle of the pack, right? But if it doesn't go well and we're 7 and 10 again, then, you know, again, there'll have to be some questions that are asked. And by the way, if they go, unless they go like 2 and 15, ridiculous type of losing, I don't think anybody's job is in jeopardy. But I think that you can be a 9 or 10 win team and find success in this season. Again, I look at the Detroit Lions. That's an up arrow franchise. That's an up arrow franchise. You know, Detroit finished 4 games back in their division. The Jacksonville Jaguars were 9-8 and won their division by 2 games. I mean, that's the NFL, right? I mean, if you're in the right division, you can make some hay. If you're in the AFC South, 9-8 won by 2 games over the division, over the second place team. If you're in the NFC North, you were 4 games out at 9-8, right? That's the NFL. That's the craziness of the NFL. All right, Georgia Tech beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Chad Bishop, going to join us up next. Talk some ACC foosball with him. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in the Key Studios on this Wednesday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, ACC Media Days taking place this week as they will be coming to an end coming up tomorrow. Let's head out to the WaitForIt.com hotline. Let's talk to our guy who covers Georgia Tech for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Chad Bishop. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page at Mr. Chad Bishop, and he joins me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Chad, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show tonight.
Well, hey, man, thanks for giving me that master.
Uh-oh.
Radio intro, then.
Well, we cutting, we got him? All right, let's put him on hold, Day-Day, and get back to him. And okay, Chad, we got you.
Are you there?
Yes. Hey. Now we can hear you.
You hear me now? Yeah. Good. I was just saying I appreciated the Master of Puppets intro there at the beginning. That really is a great way to kick off that Wednesday night.
Well, listen, we get you amped up with the music in our bumpers, so we get you going. So, Chad, I want to talk to you before we get into some Georgia Tech talk. Let me talk a little bit about the ACC in just some of the teams that we'll be looking at. Look, I think it's very, I don't know, early or just, again, people are trying to kick dirt on the grave of Clemson right now because they didn't make the playoff for the last couple of years and they lost 2 of their last 3 games, even though they did win the ACC when all is said and done. But I think Shipley's one of the more underrated players in college football in America. I still think they're good at quarterback. You know, again, they may not be the Deshaun Watson, Taj Boyd type level of quarterback or, you know, again, Trevor Lawrence level of quarterback, but I still think they're pretty good. And their defense is always going to be outstanding. I think it's a little bit premature to be trying to throw dirt on the grave of Clemson that they're just not the organization or the, you know, program that they have been in years past.
Yeah, and I think the other part of that, right, is like you just know that they're just eating that up, you know, over the border in South Carolina, right? That's the bulletin board material. That's the rat poison that Nick Saban would talk about. I mean, Mr. Dabo Swinney is just, you know, whole off season is saying, look at this, you know, nobody respects us, nobody's talking about us. I think you're right. I mean, they're still one of the cream of the crops college football programs in the Southeast and in the country, and everybody's really high right on Florida State, and you know, everybody likes North Carolina with Drake May. But yeah, I mean, Clemson's always going to be right there at the top, and it is funny that narrative that they lose a game or two, and it's all of a sudden that Clemson is done and they're finished and they're not part of this discussion. But I mean, it's still the elite talent, like you mentioned, the elite defensive talent is still going to be there. And always just an incredibly tough place to play when you go up there at Clemson. So yeah, you can't write them off yet. And I bet more than anything, they're probably just salivating this offseason, the fact that nobody is talking about them, because it allows them to sort of feed that locker room mentality of the disrespect narrative and go out there and prove each and every week that they're still a major player in this ACC title race.
And Chad, you mentioned Florida State. So I am one of the hosts for our college football show on Saturdays here. And I always try to latch on to a team that I think could be a playoff contender. And last year, unfortunately, it was NC State. Of course, injuries, you know, knocked them out. But, you know, it's been Oklahoma State and different programs like that over the years where I try to, you know, go besides just the kind of natural favorites. I'm buying all in on Florida State this year. I think Mike Norvell has a really good program there coming back with all the talent that he's got, whether it's Jared Verse, whether it's, you know, Sermon, and they're obviously, you know, again, they may have the best quarterback or at least one of the best quarterbacks in the conference. I love everything about Florida State. This feels like a little bit of some of the old school Florida State. I don't know if it'll all translate into wins, but it feels like that this is guys coming back, and this feels a little bit like old school Florida State for this program.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, definitely on paper, you know, when we talk, you know, here late July, early August, there's certainly a lot of buzz about that program, a lot of excitement, a lot of talent there. You know, they got a good coach and a good quarterback. And I really like their schedule. The fact that they open up with LSU, you know, win or lose, I mean, that's a great game for them, right? I mean, that's the game that, you know, play close and maybe you do lose it. But we all know that in college football, early losses definitely don't matter as much as late losses. And then you always play Florida at the end of the year. That's probably going to be a good win if you can knock that one off. So, you know, play Miami, Pittsburgh, not a lot of, you know, soft cupcakes on that schedule. Of course, there's a North Alabama on there, but, you know, play Clemson. So there's opportunities there to get some quality wins, impress some people, move up those rankings. So that's number one. And then, like you said, the talent in this, one of those, you know, stars aligned situations, right, where you've built things, you've got a lot of depth on that roster, you've got a coach who's done it. And so, yeah, you know, maybe this is the year. Now, when we talk about Clemson and that sort of disrespect narrative, you got to be a little bit wary if you're Florida State, right? Everybody's saying that you are going to be great and you are going to be in that discussion. So you sort of have to guard against that because you really haven't proven anything quite yet. So it's a matter of going out there and doing it week in and week out. First of all, taking care of business in the ACC and winning that conference title, and then maybe getting in that playoff discussion.
You know, Chad, this is it may not be the best quarterback conference in America. I think that belongs to the Pac-12, but this is a really good quarterback conference this year. I mean, with Jordan Travis and, you know, again, Tyler Van Dyke and obviously Drake May. I mean, there are some really good quarterbacks that are in this conference this year. And obviously Tech's going to see plenty of those, you know, quarterbacks, but this is a sneaky good quarterback conference this season for the ACC.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. And I think it's been that way for a couple of years. And maybe, you know, I don't know why, you know, it's really flying under the radar in that regard. I mean, you know, Pitt has put out a really good quarterback or two. And obviously Wake Forest with what they've done. And we talked about Drake May at North Carolina. I mean, there's guys that have, signed scholarships at ACC schools and have really risen up the ranks when it comes in terms of the NFL draft board or, you know, All-American teams or all-conference teams. You know, I agree with you. It's really tough. You know, Brent Key talked about it week in and week out. You're going to face a really elite, really good quarterback no matter what school you're playing. That's a challenge that, of course, you know, he said he loves and he relishes, but it's going to be incumbent upon Tech, right, to find a similar talent,
right,
to take over their football team, whether that's this year or next year moving forward, because all these other programs are signing these guys who are becoming world beaters and top 10 draft picks. And that's really where it starts, right? If this Tech program wants to get to that next level, they got to find that game-changing, program-changing quarterback.
So, Chad, you had the quote from Brent Key where you put on your Twitter page, my expectations are not defined by wins and losses and production. Now, okay, I understand that from a coaching perspective, but can you sell the Georgia Tech fan base on that? Because, again, it's been multiple years of not so many wins and not in bowl games and things like that. I think folks are really kind of getting antsy for at least some signs of, you know, again, getting to or above 500. I do think that it's coming to the point in this program that we have to see some wins. We have to see some, can't just see growth. We have to actually see some tangible results now.
Yeah, it's kind of a tricky, you know, phrase right there from Brent Key. And I think, you know, his take on all this, because he was asked so much about expectations and where he expects his team to be and technically what is year one for him, he's not going to go out there and say, I expect to win 8 games or 9 games. Now, don't get me wrong. He expects to win every game, and he wants his team to expect to win every game and to go into every game expecting to win. But I think more so for him, his expectations reside in the realm of he wants his team to play tough and play hard and play clean. And I know that sounds like cliche and coach speak, right? But I think from his point of view, if he gets his team to do that first and foremost, then the expectations will be raised. Then the win total expectations will be raised over time. As a first-year coach, it's always tough because, outwardly, you're never going to publicly say, well, I expect, you know, to win the conference championship, because then if your team loses 2 games and they're going to go to shell and say, well, we're not going to win the conference championship now, so blah, 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 why do we keep trying? So I think it's tough, right, as that first-year head coach to put out a number or an expectation in concrete when, you know, you're probably not quite sure yourself on what kind of team you're going to have with some of the transfers, some of the underclassmen, and the recruit, the returners, and you're still trying to build this thing. So it's kind of a tricky narrative to sort of paint. I understand where he's coming from in the sense that he just really expects a team to really form itself in the locker room first and foremost, and then those expectations in terms of win totals will come down the line this year and years in the future.
Chad Bishop, Georgia Tech beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Did you get a sense in hearing from Coach Key? I know he talked about, you know, toughness at the quarterback position and things like that, but did you get a sense about, you know, not so much that he came out and said, look, this is going to be our starting quarterback, but do you kind of think Haynes King really is the guy that's the leader in the clubhouse now? Is it his job to lose, or do you think that there really is a quarterback competition at Tech?
I think he wants there to be a quarterback competition. I think he may know, you know, in the back of his mind or maybe in his gut who's going to start that first game, but I don't think he's even going to tell that kid going into fall camp. I think he wants, you know, Zach Pyron and Haynes King to sort of battle it out over the fall and see who takes leadership of the locker room, leadership of the huddle, who can make plays, and then who can go out September 1st and make plays against Louisville. I think he wants a guy who is physically tough in terms of running the football. I think he wants a guy who's mentally tough in terms of maybe overcoming some adversity and bouncing back from an interception. A lot of those things won't play out in fall practice, right? They're going to play out in that first, you know, week against Louisville and a couple weeks later at Ole Miss. I think there really is a quarterback competition. He probably knows deep down who he thinks will start that game, but I think he wants those guys to play it out and see who competes in preseason practice, see who can, make those plays and rally the troops and, you know, all that college football cliche stuff, but he needs to see it. He needs to see who that guy is going to be. And I've covered college football a while, and just because, you know, one kid may start that opener does not mean that kid becomes the starter, mm-hmm. right, over the course of the season. So does it play out over the course of the year? I would imagine they hope not. I mean, Brent Key, I think he's a one quarterback guy. He would much rather have that guy come in. But I think he's gonna relish that competition this August and see who can rise to the cream of the crop and take over that offense.
So a couple of the transfers on defense, Braylon Oliver, Andre White from Texas A&M, you know, a couple of pretty good players that came in, you know, to this program. You know, they were a bad team against the run last year. Felt like a couple of years ago that they were really good at creating turnovers. Maybe not so much, you know, this past season. But what do you look at defensively from this team? Obviously, the run defense has got to improve, but can they get after quarterbacks is the other question that I have, obviously with no Keon White now.
No doubt. One of the prospect camps they had, I went out there and had a chance to talk to Andrew Thacker, defensive coordinator, a little bit. I talked to him about the transfers, and, you know, just like any coach right now in the country, you're not signing these transfers to be backups or just to be rentals. I mean, you want these guys to come in and perform. You sign them for a reason. So when you bring in these guys who have experience at the FBS level, or even if they're, you know, high quality players at the FCS level, you want them to come in and perform right away. And is it patchwork? Maybe a little bit in year one for Brent Key. But they're going to have to use these guys all over the field. And to me, it's going to come down to scheme. You know, can they scheme up a defense where probably in year one in this system, they're probably going to be out-talented, you know, most weeks. I don't think there's any argument there. So they got to figure out a way to maybe mask some things, maybe overcome their weaknesses. Like you said, find a way to get after opposing quarterbacks but not leave themselves exposed down the field to big plays. There's going to be a lot of, you know, I don't want to say tricks, but a lot of, you know, stuff they need to do, maybe even unconventionally, to figure out a way to stop other teams while they replenish that roster, while they get the talent level up to par with some of their opponents. Doing that via the transfer route is definitely a way to start. So I think a lot of those guys will definitely contribute this year.
Chad Bishop, he is the Georgia Tech beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Check out all of his work at AJC.com. He joined me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Mr. Chad Bishop. Chad, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show tonight. We will certainly chat again soon.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
You got it. When we come back from the top of the hour, will be time for the Falcons flyover. Well, we didn't have anybody that made the list this year, but Pro Football Focus says maybe there's somebody who could make it next year. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, ACC Media Days taking place this week as they will be coming to an end coming up tomorrow. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our guy who covers Georgia Tech for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Chad Bishop. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Mr. Chad Bishop, and he joins me here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Chad, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show tonight.
Well, hey, man, thanks for giving me that master radio intro then.
Well, we got him. All right, let's put him on hold, Day-Day, and get back to him. And okay, Chad, we got you.
Are you there?
Yes. Now we can hear you.
You hear me now? Yeah. Good. I was just saying I appreciated the Master of Puppets intro there at the beginning. That really is a great way to kick off that Wednesday night.
Well, listen, we get you amped up with the music and our bumpers, so we get you going. So, Chad, I want to talk to you before we get into some Georgia Tech talk. Let me talk a little bit about the ACC in just some of the teams that we'll be looking at. Look, I think it's very early or just, again, people are trying to kick dirt on the grave of Clemson right now because they didn't make the playoff for the last couple of years and they lost two of their last three games, even though they did win the ACC when all is said and done. But I think Shipley's one of the more underrated players in college football in America. I still think they're good at quarterback. You know, again, they may not be the Deshaun Watson, Taj Boyd type level of quarterback or, you know, again, Trevor Lawrence level of quarterback, but I still think they're pretty good. And their defense is always going to be outstanding. I think it's a little bit premature to be trying to throw dirt on the grave of Clemson that they're just not the organization or the, you know, program that they have been in years past.
Yeah, and I think the other part of that, right, is like you just know that they're just eating that up, you know, over the border in South Carolina, right? That's the bulletin board material. That's the rat poison that Nick Saban would talk about. I mean, Mr. Dabo Swinney is just, you know, whole off season is saying, look at this, you know, nobody respects us, nobody's talking about us. I think you're right. I mean, they're still one of the cream of the crops college football programs in the Southeast and in the country, and everybody's really high, right, on Florida State, and, you know, everybody likes North Carolina with Drake May. But, yeah, I mean, Clemson's always going to be right there at the top. And it is funny that narrative that they lose a game or two and it's all of a sudden that Clemson is done and they're finished and they're not part of this discussion. But, I mean, it's still the elite talent. Like you mentioned, the elite defensive talent is still going to be there. And always just an incredibly tough place to play when you go up there at Clemson. So, yeah, you can't write them off yet. And I bet more than anything they're probably just salivating this offseason, the fact that nobody is talking about them because it allows them to sort of feed that locker room mentality of the disrespect narrative and go out there and prove each and every week that they're still a major player in this ACC title race.
And, Chad, you mentioned Florida State. So I am one of the hosts for our college football show on Saturdays here. And I always try to latch onto a team that I think could be a playoff contender. And last year, unfortunately, it was NC State. Of course, injuries, you know, knocked them out. But, you know, it's been Oklahoma State and different programs like that over the years where I try to, you know, go besides just the kind of natural favorites. I'm buying all in on Florida State this year. I think Mike Norvell has a really good program there coming back with all the talent that he's got. Whether it's Jared Verse, whether it's, you know, again, Sermon, and they're obviously, you know, again, they may have the best quarterback or at least one of the best quarterbacks in the conference. I love everything about Florida State. This feels like a little bit of some of the old school Florida State. I don't know if it'll all translate into wins, but it feels like that this is guys coming back, and this feels a little bit like old school Florida State for this program.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, definitely on paper, you know, when we talk, you know, here late July, early August, there's certainly a lot of buzz about that program, a lot of excitement, a lot of talent there. You know, they got a good coach and a good quarterback. And I, you know, I really like their schedule. The fact that they open up with LSU, you know, win or lose, I mean, that's a great game for them, right? I mean, that's a game that, you know, play close and maybe you do lose it. But we all know that in college football, early losses definitely don't matter as much as late losses. And then you always play Florida at the end of the year. That's probably going to be a good win if you can knock that one off. So, you know, play Miami, Pittsburgh, not a lot of, you know, soft cupcakes on that schedule. Of course, there's a North Alabama on there, but, you know, play Clemson. So there's opportunities there to get some quality wins, impress some people, move up those rankings. So that's number one. And then, like you said, the talent in this, one of those, you know, stars aligned situations, right, where you've built things, you've got a lot of depth on that roster, you've got a coach who's done it. And so, yeah, you know, maybe this is the year. Now, when we talk about Clemson and that sort of disrespect narrative, you got to be a little bit wary if you're Florida State, right? Everybody's saying that you are going to be great and you are going to be in that discussion. So you sort of have to guard against that because you really haven't proven anything quite yet. So it's a matter of going out there and doing it week in and week out. First of all, taking care of business in the ACC and winning that conference title, and then maybe getting in that playoff discussion.
You know, Chad, this is a, you know, it may not be the best quarterback conference in America. I think that belongs to the Pac-12, but this is a really good quarterback conference this year. I mean, with Jordan Travis and, you know, again, Tyler Van Dyke and obviously Drake May. I mean, there are some really good quarterbacks that are in this conference this year, and obviously Tech's going to see plenty of those, you know, quarterbacks, but this is a sneaky good quarterback conference this season for the ACC.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt, and I think it's been that way for a couple of years, and maybe, you know, I don't know why, you know, it's really flying under the radar in that regard. I mean, you know, Pitt has put out a really good quarterback or two, and obviously Wake Forest with what they've done, and we talked about Drake May at North Carolina. I mean, there's guys that have signed scholarships at ACC schools and have really risen up the ranks when it comes in terms of the NFL draft board or you know, all American teams or all conference teams. You know, I agree with you. It's really tough. You know, Brent Key talked about it week in and week out. You're going to face a really elite, really good quarterback no matter what school you're playing. That's a challenge that, of course, you know, he said he loves and he relishes, but it's going to be incumbent upon Tech, right, to find a similar talent, right, to take over their football team, whether that's this year or next year moving forward, because all these other programs are signing these guys who are becoming just, you know, world beaters and top 10 draft picks. And that's really where it starts, right? If this Tech program wants to get to that next level, they got to find that game-changing, program-changing quarterback.
So, Chad, you had the quote from Brent Key, where you put on your Twitter page, "My expectations are not defined by wins and losses and production." Now, okay, I understand that from a coaching perspective, but can you sell the Georgia Tech fan base on that? Because, again, it's been multiple years of not so many wins and not in bowl games and things like that. I think folks are really kind of getting antsy for at least some signs of, you know, again, getting to or above 500. I do think that it's coming to the point in this program that we have to see some wins. We have to see some, we can't just see growth. We have to actually see some tangible results now.
Yeah, it's kind of a tricky, you know, phrase right there from Brent Key. And I think, you know, his take on all this, because he was asked so much about expectations and where he expects his team to be and technically what is year one for him, he's not going to go out there and say, "I expect to win 8 games or 9 games. Now, don't get me wrong. He expects to win every game, and he wants his team to expect to win every game and to go into every game expecting to win. But I think more so for him, his expectations reside in the realm of he wants his team to play tough and play hard and play clean. And I know that sounds like cliche and coach speak, right? But I think from his point of view, if he gets his team to do that first and foremost, then the expectations will be raised. Then the win total expectations will be raised over time. As a first year coach, it's always tough because, outwardly, you're never going to publicly say, well, I expect, to win the conference championship, because then if your team loses two games, and they're going to go to shell and say, well, we're not going to win the conference championship now, so blah, 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 why do we keep trying? So I think it's tough, right, as that first year head coach to put out a number or an expectation in concrete when, you're probably not quite sure yourself on what kind of team you're going to have with some of the transfers, some of the underclassmen and the recruit and the returners, and you're still trying to build this thing. So it's kind of a tricky narrative to sort of paint. I understand where he's coming from in the sense that he just really expects a team to really form itself in the locker room first and foremost. And then those expectations in terms of win totals will come down the line this year and years in the future.
Chad Bishop, Georgia Tech beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Did you get a sense in hearing from Coach Key? I know he talked about, toughness at the quarterback position and things like that, but did you get a sense about, not so much that he came out and said, look, this is going to be our starting quarterback, but do you kind of think Haynes King really is the guy that's the leader in the clubhouse now? Is it his job to lose, or do you think that there really is a quarterback competition at Tech?
I think he wants there to be a quarterback competition. I think he may know, in the back of his mind or maybe in his gut, who's going to start that first game. But I don't think he's even going to tell that kid going into fall camp. I think he wants, Zach Pyron and Haynes King to sort of battle it out over the fall and see who takes leadership of the locker room, leadership of the huddle, who can make plays, and then who can go out September 1st and make plays against Louisville. I think he wants a guy who is physically tough in terms of running the football. I think he wants a guy who's mentally tough in terms of maybe overcoming some adversity and bouncing back from an interception. A lot of those things won't play out in fall practice, right? They're going to play out in that first, week against Louisville and a couple weeks later at Ole Miss. I think there really is a quarterback competition. He probably knows deep down who he thinks will start that game, but I think he wants those guys to play it out and see who competes in preseason practice, see who can, make those plays and rally the troops and, all that college football cliche stuff, but he needs to see it. He needs to see who that guy is going to be. And I've covered college football a while, and just because, one kid may start that opener does not mean that kid becomes the starter, mm-hmm. right, over the course of the season. So does it play out over the course of the year? I would imagine they hope not. I mean, Brent Key, I think he's a one quarterback guy. He would much rather have that guy come in. But I think he's gonna relish that competition this August and see who can rise to the cream of the crop and take over that offense.
So a couple of the transfers on defense, Braylon Oliver, Andre White from Texas A&M, a couple of pretty good players that came in, to this program. They were a bad team against the run last year. Felt like a couple of years ago that they were really good at creating turnovers, maybe not so much, this past season. But what do you look at defensively from this team? Obviously, their run defense has got to improve, but can they get after quarterbacks is the other question that I have, obviously with no Keon White now.
No doubt. One of the prospect camps they had, I went out there and had a chance to talk to Andrew Thacker, defensive coordinator, a little bit. I talked to him about the transfers. And, just like any coach right now in the country, you're not signing these transfers to be backups or just to be rentals. I mean, you want these guys to come in and perform. You sign them for a reason. So when you bring in these guys who have experience at the FBS level, or even if they're, high quality players at the FCS level, you want them to come in and perform right away. And is it patchwork? Maybe a little bit in year one for Brent Key, but they're going to have to use these guys all over the field. And to me, it's going to come down to scheme. Can they scheme up a defense where probably in year one in this system, they're probably going to be out-talented, most weeks. I don't think there's any argument there. So they got to figure out a way to maybe mask them things, maybe overcome their weaknesses. Like you said, find a way to get after opposing quarterbacks, but not leave themselves exposed down the field to big plays. There's going to be a lot of, I don't want to say tricks, but a lot of, stuff they need to do, maybe even unconventionally, to figure out a way to stop other teams while they replenish that roster, while they get the talent level up to par with some of their opponents. doing that via the transfer route is definitely a way to start. So I think a lot of those guys will definitely contribute this year.
Chad Bishop, he is the Georgia Tech beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Check out all of his work at AJC.com. He joined me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Mr. Chad Bishop. Chad, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show tonight. We will certainly chat again soon.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
You got it. When we come back from the top of the hour, we'll be time for the Falcons flyover. Well, we didn't have anybody that made the list this year. But Pro Football Focus says maybe there's somebody who could make it next year. Chuck in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.